Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. We kick things off with the Nations League final. Great game between Spain and France. It would be Spain who would take the lead in the 63rd minute after a horrible first half. Yarrabal breaking the deadlock. That lead would last about 20 seconds for a brilliant goal from Karim Benzema. Then late on, Kylian Mbappe looked offside, but a touch from Eric Garcia would play him on, and it would be the PSG striker who proved to be the winner as France beat Spain and win the Nations League by 2-1. Let's welcome in then to the show as promised. Craig Burley is here and fresh from the VAR booth. Julien Laurent joins us as well. Hey, I tell you what, Craig, last half hour of this game was cracking, wasn't it?
No, it was good, and it was nice to see Karim Benzema score another tap-in, Dan.
Yes, that's Stevie.
Stevie told the world last week that Benzema scores tap-ins.
We've seen 100 of these. We've seen 100 of these goals, 10 a penny.
He's no Mo Salah, is he? But I tell you what, he just keeps getting better and better, yeah, doesn't he? But yeah, you know, I suppose for the semi-final, read the final for France again. It was not very good in the first half. Not a brilliant start to the second half, but got better as the game got on, and I maybe felt Spain got a little bit overconfident, scored that excellent goal, poor defending from Upamecano, who looked a bit edgy when he came on for Varane, but Alazabal with a great finish. And then Spain were all this celebrating, and all of a sudden the game sort of opened up for France, and we finally saw them on the counter-attack with better precision passes in behind, and yeah, I think we saw the real threat from France on the counter-attack. But ultimately, as I said last week, you know, whatever you think of the Nations League in respect to the Euros and the World Cup, they're never going to be on that standing. But boy, at least these guys out with those horrendous international friendlies that Stevie and I played in and we had for years and nobody wanted to watch them, at least we have something tangible. That it's not the greatest trophy in the world, but at least the guys want to play in the game. And I think we saw that on both semi-finals. I'm not so sure about the third and fourth playoff, but certainly semi-finals in the final.
Jules, just from a football fan's perspective, isn't it great that we're sat here and we're going to be talking about Kylian Mbappe and what he's doing on the pitch as opposed to off it?
No, you're right. And semi-final, we said how he had a point to prove, really, and the character that he showed in that game against Belgium, where he was fantastic from start to finish. And I felt tonight, again, the expectations were big because all we were saying back home was, can he do it again now? Can he do the same thing that he did against Belgium, this time against Spain, 3 days on? What about that front three, his relationship with Benzema and with Griezmann, all of that? So again, you could feel the pressure and the weight on his shoulders. And first half to forget, like everybody else. Second half, much better. He could easily have scored two, but the way he took his goal, like Stevie described, was fantastic. So it's good, but you know when he's got a chip on his shoulder like he had before these two games, and the way he reacted has to be praised.
We will talk about the offside decision in a moment. Craig, I just want to go back to you and just talk about the quality of that finish.
Well, that's unsurprising, isn't it? I mean, the guy's won a World Cup. He's one of the most sought-after, if not the most sought-after player on the planet, albeit with Messi and Ronaldo in their 30s now. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, he did scuff one earlier, I believe, off his heel. I think it was before the goal when he rushed it a little bit. But he's supremely confident, isn't he? He doesn't let it affect him. And yeah, once he's got a bit of space to run in behind, you know, obviously it was a smidge offside, but we're going to talk about the whys and the why nots of that decision. But leave him space to run into, and he's excellent.
I think, like most, Stevie, when we watched it in real time, we thought, oh, it's going to get chalked off.
Yep.
Because obviously he looked offside, but it was that touch from Eric Garcia that proves to be decisive, obviously, because he's tried to play the ball and it has then gone into Kylian Mbappe's path. It counts, it resets, he's onside, and the goal stands.
Yeah, it's a horrible rule, it's a rotten rule. It's a rule that basically goes against defenders and helps attackers. There's not a defender in the world who's going to think, well, OK, he's offside, I'm just going to let the ball go through because he's offside. Your brain doesn't work that way. You don't take chances, you don't gamble with it. You try and clear it. And, of course, it's a good ball through, which makes it hard for him to get properly. He just barely touches it. And then Mbappe gets the advantage. It's a rotten rule, but it's what the rule is now, and until it changes, then forwards are going to benefit from it.
Do you agree, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no way. Who was the defender? Was it Garcia?
Yes, yeah.
Eric Garcia. Mm. There's no way he knows that Mbappe is, half a foot offside, whatever it was. I mean, it was tight, but he was off. And there's no way you know that, as Stevie said, in a split second. So your natural instinct is to try and intercept the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose there's some out there that will say, the laws of the game have been changed. In the last 10, 20 years to try and improve and give an advantage to the attacking team and the attacking players to see more goals. But that goes, as Stevie said, it goes against the grain of the defensive aspect of the game. But, yeah, that's the reason it was allowed and a frustrating one from a Spanish perspective.
Of course, a frustrating summer for France overall, that embarrassment against Switzerland in the Euros. Jules, obviously this is nowhere near going to undo that disappointment, but it is a turn in the right direction, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's all they wanted. That's what Deschamps wanted. We mentioned it in our preview of the semi-final when we said what a big week this was, because usually, as Craig talked about earlier, usually this is meaningless games, either qualifiers against rubbish teams or friendlies. Now, Deschamps had two big games to be able to turn things around, because before that, he'd been poor at the Euros, even before the Euros, since the Euros, apart from the Finland win last month, but the rest was bad. So this was a golden opportunity for them to go back onto the right path for the World Cup in 14 months, and they did that so well. I mean, tonight is vintage 28 in France, 36% of the ball, controlling the game, managing the oppositions with the ball pretty well, even if they let them the ball, and then going offensive transition so quick, so good. The Theo Hernandez one, of course, then the two goals. But it almost cost them eventually in the end, and even when they conceded first, but certainly it looked very much more like the France from 2018 than the France from the Euros in 2021.
Tell me why it was an embarrassment against Switzerland.
Well, because you're 3-1 up with 10 minutes to go.
That's not an embarrassment.
Of course
that's
it just, is, Craig. Just, you're 3-1 up. You're not the best team in the world, and you've got 10 minutes to go.
That's football. It can happen. It doesn't turn into an embarrassment.
No, it's an embarrassment because their attitude was embarrassing. They thought it had done and dusted. They thought they'd won it. They thought they were through to the next round.
You're an attitude expert now.
Very much so. Working with you every day, I'm good. I know bad attitudes.
All of a sudden, it's a headline. It's an embarrassment.
That's it.
These things happen. It's poor.
Yes. Jules, was it an embarrassment? You're French.
Switzerland are not that bad a side.
Embarrassment might be the wrong word. I see what you mean, and it's not good, and I think they all... But embarrassment is it, considering
beep,
that second
beep,
half
beep,
that they put
beep,
in that game.
Beep, 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 beep. That reverse, I can hear that.
No, I stick with embarrassment. I'm sorry for my anti-Switzerland ways. Stevie, what, of course, has improved since 2018, if you take a look at that two-pronged attack now of Benzema and Mbappe that works so well, how much does that play into Benzema's goal, in the fact defenders are concerned about Mbappe
Huge.
As well.
Huge. Listen, if you again as a defender, and a good example would be a two v one situation. I'm going to make sure I'm going to try and get the ball to the guy who I think isn't going to score.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you're playing against Mbappe and Benzema and Griezmann, it's kind of choose your poison. And actually, let's be honest, that if you'd stuck that three on the Spain team today, this would have been a one-sided affair.
Right.
The fact is that Spain as a team play some fantastic football. There's no question when it comes to getting from the back to the middle to the front, they are absolutely superb. And right now, I'm not sure there's a better team at doing that. Unfortunately, they can't put the ball in the back of the net and use that domination. And the category that counts the most is goals. Because that's the only reason this French side won this is because they've got a bit better, more ability up front. Spain showed in the semi that at times they can put the ball in the back of the net and capitalise on that dominance. But the fact is, we can't rely on the front three that they have. You can't. They had opportunities today to win the game and they didn't take them. And then you've got Benzema and Mbappe and the other team who all of a sudden get a sniff of the goal and it's in the back of the net. That's the truth and the difference.
I feel like Gab here chuntering away in the background. I know that's what he does. But I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here tonight with you, Dan, because tell me what Mbappe had to do with Benzema whipping it in the top corner.
Well, because you're preoccupied, aren't you, as a defender? Aren't you worried about one, so you're not closing in on the other?
That's fine, but tell me, Sam, is Kylian Mbappe playing for Real Madrid? Because I'm seeing Karim Benzema do that a lot at the moment, whether Mbappe's in the team or not.
I wasn't undermining Benzema. I was just using it to prove a point. What's wrong with you today?
Well, I'm unproving your point that Karim Benzema hasn't got Kylian Mbappe at Real Madrid, and yes, he's still managing to do that. So it's not about what's Mbappe doing for Karim Benzema. It's what Karim Benzema is doing for himself. It's quite simple.
Yes. Jules, sticking with Benzema, can you just describe the temperature regarding the French fans of the Real Madrid striker and how it's changed over the last, 18 months?
Karim the dream! you know why I'm cross? I'm cross because I wonder what would have happened if he'd never been dropped by Deschamps. And, maybe Deschamps felt he had to, and then he felt he could not call him back earlier because of everything, and we're not going to go back to the story of the sex tape and Valbuena and the tag on the house, on the wall, the racism stuff, all of that. It's not for now, but I'm cross because I'm not sure what would have happened to this France team had Benzema been there in the last 6 years or all of it. And when you see him play like this, when you see the understanding with Mbappe, when you see what he brings in terms of even just composure to this team and experience and leadership and the way he's done it. And back home, everybody is on the Benzema wagon now, bandwagon,
right,
when that didn't happen in the 5 years before the Euros. So I think it's a shame we can't go back into the past, and we certainly not know what would have happened had Benzema not being dropped ever by Deschamps. But certainly when you see him back now, when he's going to turn 34 at the end of December, you think like, oh, wow, OK, he's taking this team to a different level in a way, and he's taking his own game to a different level too.
He was at the Euros in 2021, was he not? And it came apart from them in that very famous embarrassment, as Dan said, against Switzerland. So I don't remember the French public purring over him after the exit to Switzerland. So I mean, this is swinging in roundabouts here. That this whole sort of love in and love out story, no?
You can take Jules.
You're absolutely right. Four goals at the Euros, including two in the embarrassing defeat against the Swiss. But it's just that if you add a world-class player like him to a World Cup winning team, and yes, of course, we had some issues at the Euros, and you could see tonight that maybe some of those issues have been resolved or are on their way to being resolved. But if you add Karim Benzema in this kind of form to this team, then certainly it's a completely different board game, even to that team that won the World Cup. And I just think that Deschamps, again, did the right thing by calling him back. I'm just a bit disappointed it was not earlier, but certainly he's definitely added so much more to this team. It's pretty remarkable in the space of 6 months.
This is classic France, is it not? I mean, I hope we're just dropping any advertisements here or whatever we're doing, because this is classic France, is it not? They've just won the Nations League.
What are we advertising?
Which is down there, I don't know, some commercials or whatever. You know, the France have just won the Nations League, right? And all of a sudden, everything's rosy again. Stevie mentioned it. If the Spanish had anything about them up front...
I didn't say
if
that.
If the Spanish had anything about them up front, right, they would have won this game, right? But they didn't. And that allowed France back into it. So, the French only 6 months ago, the parents were arguing and fighting. He didn't want to take a penalty. Or he should have took a penalty. Or he should have done this. Or he should have done that. Or we shouldn't have brought Benzema back. Now they win the Nations League. And all of a sudden, the whole garden is just full of roses again.
So
amazing turnaround.
So looking ahead to the World Cup, Craig, for you, France aren't the favourites?
I don't know. I'm not looking that far ahead. If Spain sort themselves up front, they're going to give themselves a chance. But I tell you what, I don't think one of the big South American teams, particularly Brazil, given that amount of possession, given that amount of chances, will be as wasteful in the final third. So I'm going to say no. I'm not convinced about Didier Deschamps, I have to be honest. He's had success in terms of winning the World Cup. Nobody's going to ever take that away from him. But I don't think he's the greatest coach out there. But I think he's got a very good bunch of players. And I don't think France are the favourites for the World Cup.
Stevie, France favourites or no?
I wouldn't say they're favourites. Listen, there's a little pack of teams that could win it.
Right.
And they're one of them.
OK.
But the truth is, if they can sort out what's going on behind the front three, then that would definitely make them favourites. But right now, Deschamps doesn't seem to be able to do that. There's no real cohesion. But they're winning games. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
I'm sure it's the last time I'll ever ask you guys who's going to win the World Cup. Just a reminder to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Plenty of video content over there for you to peruse and enjoy.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, earlier on Sunday, it was the third, fourth place playoff. Italy taking on Belgium. Good game, I've been told that this was. Italy winning by 2-1. Barella from the penalty spot, then Berardi with the second. Belgium with a late consolation goal. But in the end, Italy with a 2-1 win. Stevie, I have to admit, I didn't see this game. I'm afraid. I know that you got up early to watch it. How would you describe it?
It actually wasn't bad for a neutral. No question, Italy being at home. And then when you look at the team sheet and you don't see Lukaku, you don't see De Bruyne, you kind of get a message that Belgium, yes, they want to do well. Certainly Batshuayi in particular coming in, he wants to do well for himself as well. So I got the impression there was only going to be one winner. It was a lot closer than I thought it would be. But I think Italy deserved it. We showed Belgium hitting the woodwork a couple of times. But what we didn't show you was two or three other chances, good chances that Italy had.
Right.
So it was a decent game to watch. We got goals. We got opportunities. We got a controversial penalty kick.
Oh, you're all into this game, Stevie.
Well, I think when your bar starts way, way low.
Yes.
Because nobody... I've never played in a third or fourth game.
Yeah. Game. Of course, Watt said it was a waste of time.
Because how to motivate yourself and get yourself up for it must be really difficult.
Right.
So I wasn't expecting an awful lot. But it was a pleasant surprise. So, yeah, I enjoyed the game. I think the best team won. And, of course, the fact that it was the home team, there was a good atmosphere.
If we were to use Don's percentages, what would he say that Craig watched this match?
Oh, flat zero. Yeah, flat zero. That was the easiest question of the day.
Jules, why did they have it? Is it a money thing, obviously, tickets and things like that?
Yeah, 100%, I think. And Thibaut Courtois hinted at it as well after the game, saying we're playing too many games now. As he said before, there was no need to play this game. There would be more Nations League game to be played. There was, yeah, the only reason why they played that one. And I agree with Stevie, it was a good watch. It was a really good watch and the best team won. but it's purely financial reasons.
Of course, there's a lot of speculation about Roberto Martinez's future as a Belgian coach, been heavily linked to Barcelona. Ronald Koeman, of course, currently in charge of the Catalan side. If we take a look at the odds as to who will be in charge or who will be the next coach of Barcelona, Xavi comes in at 2-1. Roberto Martinez, who was heavily linked before, has drifted to 6-1, Jules. Does this suggest that any further reports suggesting that he could step away from Belgium and go to Barcelona should be disregarded?
No, I mean, it's a very interesting one. Obviously, he is Catalan. So I think it's one of those, and we've seen it in the past with other top clubs. You fear as well that train might just pass once. And if you don't take it when it's there, it might not pass again. And you might regret it all your life. So at the moment, there's been no offers from Barcelona to Roberto Martinez or even to Xavi, who are the two outstanding candidates, really the top of the list, of the shortlist for Joan Laporta and his club. Let's see what happens. But he's got a contract until December 2022 after the Qatar World Cup, Roberto Martinez with Belgium. This is a really good project. He's taken this team really far already, even if they came short again in this Nations League tournament. So I think even for him, it would be hard to give that up, to go to Barcelona. However, once again, this is Barcelona, and I think for him, it would mean a lot.
It's a nice way of putting it, Craig. The train is only going to maybe pass you once in your life. Do you jump on if you're Roberto Martinez, or do you give it a pass given the situation at Barcelona and what could possibly happen in the World Cup next year?
I think he'll probably go to Qatar and have one more bash at it with this group. That's the kind of feeling that I get. And I think he'll just bide his time. He knows, I think, that the potentially big jobs are coming up and will come up, you know, whether it's Barcelona, Real Madrid, somewhere in England or even in Italy. And his name's going to be at the forefront. So I think maybe patience is the key here. But I have to say, I've got to laugh my cotton socks off at seeing Pirlo's name in that list after his sterling work at Juventus. He must have a heck of an agent pushing these bookies.
Where's Frank de Boer as well? Put that in there as well in the mix. Stevie, obviously, you know, it's kind of like his dream is to coach Barcelona one day. You never know when that opportunity is going to arise. Do you jump ship now?
I find it difficult that he would turn it down.
Right.
I think it's easier when you're on the outside, looking in, saying, you know, to take over now while they're still in turmoil, it's going to take a lot of things. It's going to take another 12 to 18 months to calm down. And so the sensible thing would be to wait that time and get somebody else in while the ship's still sinking.
Right.
And then when it starts refloating again, you get back on board. And that means that would be after Qatar. But I think it's a tough thing to turn down.
But as you said, right, you were in reference to the game. Obviously, Barcelona, the bar's set so low at the moment. Expectations aren't high. If you just go there and lift morale a little bit, lift performances a little bit.
Again, you're coming from a very rational point of view. The fact is, regardless of who the team is right now, who the manager is right now, when they do not win, regardless of the opposition, you're under severe pressure. And nobody's turning around. How many people have you heard say, well, right now, it's the expectations are low, the bar's low, so, you know, it'll be nice and smooth. It's not smooth. When you're at a big club and you're not winning, it's anything but smooth. So I think if he's offered it, I think he would take it. If he asked me, I would say, leave it till after Qatar.
A busy weekend of international football, of course, for Gab and Jules to discuss, plus, of course, more on Newcastle. Be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Happiness is back. Craig is joined by Jules and Stevie to answer your tweets as Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Stevie with me in the studio. Jules with us. This is Craig. I feel like Craig was spoiling for a bit of a fight during the show. Have you had a nice weekend, Craig? What's going on?
I think it was incumbent of me to pick you up in your
incumbent. Ooh. Ooh, big words of a Sunday.
And also, we had to sort of deflect away from the sort of French loving that we had there.
I see. You won't get too excited
what
about France winning.
French loving?
Well, I think we had to throw a bit of perspective on it, Jules. You know, it was only 6 months ago that everything was falling apart. Even the parents were fighting.
On that note, Jules. Would you rather to see back-to-back World Cup titles for France or PSG win the Champions League?
Ooh, that's a beauty.
Oh, Sophie's choice.
Why are you doing this to me? Who said, you made up that question.
It's an easy answer.
Oh, Craig definitely wouldn't. Yeah, he's not bothered.
There's no way he's not going to see PSG.
It's got to be PSG.
It's got to be.
Stevie knows me so well. I mean, and we said that we're Parisian before being French anyway. So, stuff France. I'll take PSG winning the Champions League. And back-to-back even. Back-to-back Champions League.
Take that, LeBouf.
By the way, how unpatriotic is that?
Yes. He doesn't even live there. Doesn't he? Yeah. That's
he loves it so much.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to stay there.
Doesn't even be bothered to live in France. Okay, yeah. Craig. Everton, Aston Villa or Leeds, which of these teams would you buy if you're a billionaire?
Everton, Aston Villa or Leeds? I would... Aston Villa. Former European champions.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Stevie, you're nodding next to me.
Aye, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, good luck. Good luck fighting against Liverpool and Merseyside. Leeds United, I mean... They've got a long, long way to go. And Aston Villa has just got a bigger fan base than the other two. And there's more potential. So, yeah.
Okay, you took that quite seriously.
Yeah, die.
Craig and Stevie, how far do you think Scotland will go in the World Cup qualifiers? Big win against Israel, of course, yesterday.
Well, it depends on the draw. I think they'll qualify in second place.
Okay.
But it depends who they get in the draw.
Right.
That's what it's down to. Yeah. I think they'll qualify for the playoffs. Now it's up in the air who they get.
Did you watch the game, Craig?
No, I didn't watch the game. I was off. I'm up until working here. I've been off.
How unpatriotic!
They
can't even live in
Scotland. They should have scored five, Scotland.
You don't even want to go back.
Craig doesn't. He really doesn't. You won 3-2. You're in second place behind Denmark.
I know what the score is. I checked it out.
All right.
They got a late winner for Scott McTominay. I'm all over it.
Okay.
All over it like a rash.
Perfect.
I just couldn't watch it yesterday. I was very, very busy.
What do you mean? You play golf in the morning. Then what did you do in the afternoon?
What are I doing in the afternoon?
recovering from the golf.
Oh, I had a sleep.
Yeah, I had a nap.
I had a pillow nap.
That was it. Jules, the Premier League's biggest stars like Coutinho and Hazard have flunked in La Liga. Does that mean Spanish clubs should be cautious while signing players from the EPL, or the step up from the EPL to Spain is too huge?
And what about Luis Suarez and what about the others? Even to certain things, Gareth Bale. Well, certainly not the last few years, but at the beginning, it worked for them to go from England to Spain. So every case is different. There's reasons why some fail, some succeed. It depends on the club where you arrive. It depends on your own mindset. It depends on injuries. It depends on a lot of things. And I don't think it says much about La Liga or the Premier League if so-and-so succeeds or so-and-so fails. It's just, it happens. It happens between every league, every player. You just, there's a lot of things that you can't control, unfortunately. Otherwise, everybody would be succeeded everywhere. Mm. So I think it's a bit unfair to put it that way.
Jules, what are your opinions on Neymar saying 2022 World Cup will be his last?
Well, first of all, when I saw the interview and the quotes, I thought this is exactly the kind of thing that you said, but you go back on it and you end up going to the following one and the Copa America after all of that. If you look at it from his point of view, I think the pressure, and it's always been the case since he was a very young kid, you could imagine that it's not always easy to carry and to go through and to live with. And of course, he's a professional athlete, and a lot of athletes go through the same things, and some cope better with it and some not so much. But I think it's a lot of pressure in Brazil when you're Neymar for all sorts of reasons. So you can see why maybe he's a bit tired of all that pressure, but I don't believe a second that 2022 will be his last World Cup or his last involvement with the national team. I don't believe that a second.
Final question, of course, we were discussing with Alessandro Del Piero what it's like to have people having you tattooed on their bodies. Hence, the final question is, how would the guys feel if someone tattooed them on their bodies? Stevie, how would you feel? Big Liverpool fan, having a Stevie Nicol right across their chest?
That'd be great, aye.
Yeah, you'd like it?
Why not?
Yeah?
Perfect. Why not?
Who would you have tattooed on your body if you had to have somebody?
I wouldn't.
You thought about that for a moment.
I didn't want to dive in. I like to give some thought to the questions.
Yes, yeah.
And on reflection, none.
Craig, I did Google Craig Burley tattoo just in case, for whatever reason, maybe a Scottish fan got it done in 98. And all that came up, up was that fake Fernando Torres one that you had done when you said if he scored a hat-trick, you get a tattoo. Well, you got like a fake one done and all the news outlets picked it up in England and it went viral, didn't it?
Yeah, that tells you how stupid some people are. They actually thought I was... They actually thought I was going to go ahead and do that. Complete Muppets. I mean, but I remember that. But nah, I mean, who gives a stuff? Who gets a tattoo? Yeah. You know what I mean, like.
I don't think that lie down he had yesterday was very successful.
You don't think the nap is?
I couldn't have got it.
Jules, how many tattoos do you have? How many of them are of Gab?
Well, they look Neymar, weren't
he? None of them are of Gab. But this is a true story. I'm going to tell you. Yesterday we took the children to a big zoo in Bedfordshire anyway, and we were sat there and there was a couple next to us, and I said to my wife, I said, okay, look, the guy had a big man's face on his calf tattooed. I said, oh, look, the guy must have his dad tattooed on his calf. And she looks and she said, no, I don't think his dad, he looks like Patrick Swayze. And there was a woman next to the man's head, and we said, I swear, this is Dirty Dancing tribute, and he was indeed Patrick Swayze, now that we look properly.
Wow.
It was Patrick Swayze, and the girl who plays with him in Dirty Dancing, can't remember the name. I mean, I would rather
Jennifer
Stevie Nicol tattooed on my leg than Patrick Swayze, or even Craig Burley than Patrick Swayze.
Wow.
What was Jennifer Grey's nose like?
Stevie, where are we going with this?
Well, she had a nose job, didn't she?
Right, I've been told to move away from that very quickly.
Do you know when players left their T-shirt up, their strip up over their head, and they've got a message?
Yes.
I'm sure Jules has got a tattoo on his chest that when he lifts his shirt up, it just says, for God's sake, Gab, shut up. something to that effect.
I believe on that note, I mean, that's a good way to end Extra Time for today. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. We will be back here tomorrow for more of this. Until then, goodbye.